Let us pray. Holy Spirit, fall upon us now and lift us up to heaven through Christ to the Father. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, this evening, I want you to imagine with me that moment on the Mount of Olives. Two angels watch the Sacred One as he meanders his way up the hill. The celestial eyes flicker and focus on the Lord of all creation. He moves with fluid ease between the patches of squat olive trees and the rows of slender cypress that stretch their branches over 100 feet high in the air. He gestures, he laughs, he preaches. But these messengers, these celestial winds, can sense the discomfort, the confusion in every clenched jaw and every twitching motion. The disciples grimace because Jesus is talking like a man about to leave, a man about to abandon them. The road approaches Bethany on the southwestern slope. And Jesus' healing hands rise over furrowed brows and bitten lips. And then the angels are spinning the curious weave of clouds for the Son of Man. Jesus blesses his disciples as the frothing chariot carries him upward and inward, beyond space and time, into the throne room at the heart of reality. The spirits can only shake marbled heads of fire. Humanity has entered into the presence of the Ancient of Days. But the disciples stand scanning the skies. They don't understand. They grit their teeth in fear. They don't want to be alone. They don't want to be alone in their lives, coming apart at the seams. They don't want to be alone with hard decisions and difficult conversations. And the panic of the abandoned child rushes over them, and they strain their eyes towards the heavens. Their breath comes in heaving gasps. Their hearts pound. Where is he? Where did Jesus go? And this evening, we too shift our feet on the Mount of Olives. We strain our eyes with Peter and John, Thomas and Bartholomew. Where is he? Where did Jesus go? We've followed Jesus from the beginning. We've watched the water pour over him in the Jordan. We've listened to his parables as we folded the laundry. We've marveled at his resurrection as we pecked away at the keyboard. And now he is gone. And we don't understand. We want Jesus right here. We don't want to be alone. We don't want to be alone in our lives that are coming apart at the seams. We don't want to be alone with hard decisions and difficult conversations. The panic of an abandoned child rushes over us, and our breaths come in heaving gasps. Our hearts pound. Where is he? Where did Jesus go? But as we all stand staring into heaven with that lump in our throats, the two angels are before us. The contradiction of their presence frightens us. Their bodies fade and drift on the wind, inhabitants of another realm. And yet, even as their visages dance just out of reach, like a flicker, a flame, their robes dazzle our strained eyes like mirrors flashing the sun. And their words strike at our fear. Men of Galilee, why do you stand continually staring into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Why are you standing here straining your eyes as if you've been abandoned? As if you've lost him? He is in heaven, and he will return the same way from heaven. He is in heaven. Is that the Spirit of God whispering hope into our fearful hearts? Heaven is the throne room at the heart of reality. It is neither here nor there. It is upward and inward, beyond time and space, and so is present every time and every space. Jesus sits enthroned in the eternal now of the freedom of the love of God. His flesh and blood are nearer to us now than the breath caught in our lungs. His gentle smile is nearer than the hearts pounding in our chests. He is not trapped in the first century on the Mount of Olives. He is, by the power of the Holy Spirit, present to us here and now. He is with us in the car, pondering the hard edges of our lives. He is with us in the tense conversation that strains our joy to the breaking point. He is also with us in the tender joys that fill our days. The sight of our children giggling on their bikes, the feeling of our spouse's wrinkled old arms, the smell of baking bread in Nana's kitchen. The Australian theologian Benjamin Myers observes that when the New Testament writers speak of the ascension, they are not describing Jesus' absence, but his sovereign presence throughout creation. He has not gone away, but has become even more fully present. Because he has ascended, says Myers, his life is universally available. His loving authority extends over the whole creation and is present wherever believers assemble. He has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. Because Jesus has ascended, he is even nearer to us and to all things, says Myers. Sisters and brothers, maybe today it feels like Jesus has flown away and abandoned you. Maybe today you are straining your eyes, staring into the sky. Your breath is coming in those heaving gasps. Your heart is pounding. Hear the good news of the gospel. Jesus has ascended to heaven to move even closer to you. He has ridden his frothing chariot into the throne room at the heart of reality. Today, you need to know that Jesus is nearer to you than the breath in your lungs. He is nearer to you than the heart hammering in your chest. Jesus reigns from just beyond heaven's veil. He is neither here nor there. He is upward and inward, beyond time and space, and so present to every time and every space. Jesus sits enthroned in the eternal now of the freedom of God's love. Jesus has not abandoned you. He has descended to move even closer to you. As he pondered the ascension, the late Pope Benedict XVI once wrote, "God is not the prisoner of eternity. In Jesus, he has time for us. And Jesus is thus, in actual fact, the throne of grace to which at any time we can with confidence draw near." And so, sisters and brothers, let us join then with the other disciples, Peter and John, Thomas, Bartholomew, Philip, and all the rest, in returning to Jerusalem with great joy. Let us join them continually in the temple, praising and blessing God, praying to Jesus, the God-man, bringing all of our cares to him, the one who is nearer to us than our breath or our pounding hearts. Jesus has ascended to heaven to move even closer to you, to me. And that is good news. That is the gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.